Let me share a story this morning. A certain married couple had many sharp disagreements. Well, which couple doesn't have sharp disagreements? Yet somehow the wife always stayed calm and collected. One day her husband commented on his wife's gift. He said, "When I get so mad at you, you never fight back. How do you control your anger?" The wife said, "I work it off by cleaning the bathrooms." The husband said, "Wow." He said, "Well, how does that really help you with the anger issue?" She said, "I use your toothbrush." The subject today is forgiveness, not revenge. Forgiveness. Here is Peter. Peter comes to Jesus and asks, "Jesus, how many times must I forgive someone who has hurt me? Hurt me by abuse, exploited, hurt, you know, how many times?" That is Simon's question. How many times should I forgive? And Peter thinks about it and says, "Well, maybe, you know, 7 times should be good, because that's what the rabbis teach. You know, the rabbis only say you need to forgive 3 times, right? Forgive 3 times, but not the 4th, because it goes back to Amos chapter 1, verse 3. For three transgressions, and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment." So Peter was taking what the rabbis had taught him, multiply it by 2, and adding 1 more for good measure, came up with 7, and thought, "Well, that's good. 7 is the perfect number." And Jesus said, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Well, I'm sure Peter is now calculating, "Well, 490 times? Whoa, that's a lot." Jesus is not talking about math. He does not want us to calculate and figure out how many times to forgive. Jesus is talking about limitless forgiveness. This is so important for us, isn't it? Forgiveness. Here is Jesus reflecting of his whole mission, to be with us as the Son of God. The number 7 means perfection, but Jesus multiplies perfection times perfection. The number 10 means completeness. So now he multiplies perfection doubled by completeness. So the Jewish contemporaries are able to understand that Jesus is talking about infinity. I mean, forgiveness. There is no limit to forgiveness. Forgiveness is at the heart of the Christian faith, isn't it? We're not to hold grudges, carry resentment, harbor bitterness. It's a tough teaching, but it is one of Jesus' most important teaching. It is at the center of everything, center of the gospel message itself. Now, the problem that Forgiveness presences this. Forgiveness deals with sin. Forgiveness deals with sin. Forgiveness has to deal with perhaps the most unpleasant thing in life. And that is when someone else does you wrong. We're dealing with real wrongdoing. We're not talking about overlooking some type of behavior that is justified by some type of excuse. But forgiveness deals with sin. Did you read the reflection when Anita told us to do it? Well, here it is again. Will Willman says, the human animal is not supposed to be good at forgiveness. Forgiveness is not some innate, natural human emotion. Vengeance, retribution, violence, these are the natural human qualities. It is natural for the human animal to defend itself. Have you seen that? To snarf and crouch into the defensive position when attacked. To howl when wronged. To bite back when bitten. Forgiveness is not natural. It is not a universal human virtue. If the behavior that forgiveness deals with can be excused, then it doesn't need to be forgiven. Even the very word forgiveness tells us how difficult forgiveness is. Because the word literally means to let go. To let go. To send away. Forgiveness is when you release to the Lord any bitterness that you might feel you have a right to have towards someone else. It is the willingness to send the offender and the offense away into the hands of God, and that God take care of it. It's a hard thing to do. I know you're saying, well, it's easy said than done. That's what Jesus is talking about, how central forgiveness is. If we don't understand, if we don't come to grips with it, it is so hard for us to understand God's forgiveness. It is hard for us to understand the human condition. Psychologists and ministers alike, counselors alike, agree that there is only one cure for the cancer of bitterness, and that is forgiveness. I want to remind you here that Jesus is not making a suggestion. This is a command. This is a command. Forgiveness carries a price with it. It carries a price with it. Jesus is now trying to explain it to Peter. He shares a story, he shares a parable, so that Peter can understand what this is all about. And that's where he starts with saying, the king was owed 10,000 talents, we are told, which is today's currency is well over like 100 millions of dollars. The point is that it was a huge amount of money, a huge amount of money, quite beyond the reach of this servant to pay back. The story is saying to us that forgiveness carries a large price tag. Have you ever thought that Jesus did not have to end the parable of the prodigal son the way that he did? It's another good example to look at. We know that as the prodigal son comes back home, the older son is jealous, right? Or whatever emotions are going on there. But what if instead of going, the father going to the prodigal son first, the father had gone to the older son? What if he would have said something to him like this? For example, look here, your brother has come home, come back, and frankly, I don't know what to make of it. He looks like death warmed over, and maybe there is a chance that he has finally come to his senses. So, with your approval, I'm going to take him back as a hired servant and give him a chance to prove himself. Now, we're not going to make a big deal out of this. We're going to play this a low key and see just how much he has matured on his trip. The story would be totally different, wouldn't it? Now, if that had happened, do you think that the older brother would have been offended? As he was when the way Jesus ended the parable? No, of course not. I dare say he would have loved it. It would have been a logical way. But Jesus does not end it that way, does he? You know, forgiveness is not logical. I know those of you who are very logical, it is hard, isn't it? It doesn't tally up. It's not pleasant. It comes with a price. So reflect that story that Jesus is telling. Okay? He forgives the servant because he owed him millions or billions of dollars. I mean, he couldn't pay it back. God forgives him. The king forgives him in the story and sends him back. But the person goes back, and what does he do? He looks at people who owe him money. Well, maybe $10, $15, $20. And he almost chokes that person saying, "Hey, where is my $20? Get it? Where is my $20? I was just forgiven for billions, but I go after a $20 bill. Do you see the comparison that Jesus is making with God forgiving us? You know, when we are born, we are born to die. I mean, that's how it is. I don't want to get into another whole sermon about that. But we are born with sin and we die. But Jesus, God, makes a way through the cross. The cross makes a way for us for eternal life, not eternal death, as it was as you were born to die. But the cross intersects and gives us life everlasting, gives us eternal life. God forgives us through Jesus. Billions of dollars worth. We cannot ever repay that. But do we go out and do likewise? Isn't that beautiful how Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer? We pray that prayer all the time. We've memorized it. We know it by heart. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. In receiving forgiveness, there comes the great responsibility for us to give others forgiveness, isn't it? In Luke chapter 12, you know, if the sin is not forgiven, if we do not forgive, Jesus says, the time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed. And all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear. Nobody is going to get away with anything at the day of judgment if we do not ask for forgiveness. My friends, we have the cross as a symbol to help us reflect forgiveness, God's grace to pass God's grace, to accept the grace that is offered to us and to pass it on. Passing of the peace. I've held it back today to do it a little later here. Passing of the peace. What does it mean? Does it mean to just say, hey, how are you doing? Well, that's good. That's good. We got to connect with each other, you know. That's why we have the fellowship time. But the way it came into be part of the worship was reconciliation. It was the time for reconciliation for the community of the believers. Passing of the peace is telling the other person, I forgive you. Would you forgive me? That's what it is. Put in that one word, peace. I forgive you. Could you, would you, please forgive me? Isn't that what happens when we, you know, peace, peace, we say peace, we use it so much during the war, after the war, hold it, peace, no more war. What does it mean? Okay, we're done. Let's reconcile, let's get back. This morning, Kim's going to sing the Lord's Prayer. She's going to sing it. We're not going to say, you know, we've said it so many times and, you know, we just say it. But when she sings it, maybe we can reflect. We can reflect on what Jesus told us to do. Okay? And we're going to do this at least once a month to sing the Lord's Prayer for communion. So she's going to sing it today for us to hear the tune and maybe sing it with her. But we're going to learn this to sing. Just to do something different from saying it and not really soaking it in. And then after she gets done singing, I want you to stand up and greet one another saying, peace, but you are telling yourself, I forgive you. Would you please forgive me? I mean, it's a long sentence, so you might blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what you're going to do, right? You're saying, I forgive you. Would you please forgive me? So what are you going to say? You say peace, but what are you saying really? I forgive you. Would you please forgive me? Kim's going to come and sing the Lord's Prayer, and let's reflect on God's forgiveness and our forgiveness with one another.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be temptation, but deliver us